Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to Podcast Rock City, the only podcast from Jandel. Don't forget your spacesuit.
Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me this week is Mr. Jody Havnot.
Greetings, Kiss World.
And Mr. Sonny Hollywood Pooty.
Damn.
That's not bad for a sick guy.
That's pretty sweet, dude.
That's all that crap in my chest.
You were channeling like Bruce Dickinson and shit almost.
Yeah. Yeah. I punched myself Udo? In the nards.
Are you dressed in camouflage right now?
I am. Balls to the wall. Anyway. So I hope you guys are doing well out there. You're listening to Podcast Rock City, your weekly Kiss thing that we do, the news. And okay. Anyway, so if you're a Kiss fan, thanks for listening. If you're not, you're about to become a Kiss fan because you're about to listen to three dudes sitting around talking about our favorite band, Kiss, man.
Because we ain't got nothing better to do.
Ain't got shit to do. You ain't got no job. All right. Anyway, how are you guys doing? Had a good week?
Yeah, pretty good for me. You? Other than being sick?
Other than being sick and trying to be murdered by students, you know, I'm okay, but I'm all good. Sonny, how was your week? Lots of traveling?
How many states were you in this week, Sonny?
No, just the two. But I flew through St. Louis today. It looked like it was raining.
It was.
Yeah, just my son went back to California, and he's going to start college soon. So,
That's awesome. We're so proud of him.
Totally.
I am, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, guys, want to get a few things out there, man. We're in the home stretch right now for the Rock and Pod Expo, okay? That's going to be in Nashville on the 25th.
Yeah.
25th. My days are all fucked up. 25th. And the cool thing is on the 24th, the Friday, there's going to be a concert. So that's the day before. And there's going to be a whole bunch of people playing. Now, I'm going because I want to see Tora Tora. Okay, I've never seen Tora Tora. I love that first record. I'm a big fan of the first record. So if you're going to be coming to the Rockin' Pod, you want to come to the club, look it up on the Rockin' Pod Expo on Facebook. All your information is there. Get your tickets. Then the next day is the Rockin' Pod Expo. And that's when Jody and Sonny and I and is Brent coming?
I think so.
Okay. I haven't talked to him in a while, so I'm just, you know, he's in cruise control. You guys took over the radio show and we have, you know what I mean? Y'all are doing a great job. Do we know if D-Rock's gonna come?
D-Rock's coming.
Sweet! So we'll all be in the same place again. It's gonna be a lot of fun. We're gonna eat some hot chicken, drink some beers. Jody and I'll inevitably do something that gets him laughing at me.
The Chinaman may make another appearance.
Oh, my God. The last time we were watching the fight, remember? Yeah. What was it? McGregor.
Who was the fight? Mayweather. It was Mayweather.
Yeah. Eminem. Anyway, and I don't remember much about that night, except for D-Rock singing. What did he sing? Hard Luck Woman with everybody?
Yeah, with like Matt and Steve and I don't know who else.
If you guys, please don't miss this party. You guys have, and there's going to be a lot of people there.
Hey, did you see that they announced Erie Vaughn will be there?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Tell me who that is.
That's the coolest guest there.
I'm sorry, because I'm not like you guys. I am the epitome of what this show is all about. I'm like a diehard Kiss fan. So every time somebody new gets added, it upsets me because I feel like a loser. So tell everybody, including me, who this person is. Oh, wait, no, he's from Danzig.
Yeah, and Samhain.
Right.
Yeah, okay, yes. No.
Samhain, one of the greatest bands ever.
Yeah, okay, never mind. I knew who that guy was. Yay for me!
Yeah. Plus, he took all those classic photos of the Misfits back in the day. I mean, the dude's just rad.
I'm super excited about meeting the drummer from Tesla. I want to let him know what a big fan I am of his band. The dude from Korn, right?
I'm not excited about anyone from Korn.
Really?
Oh, wow. What do you think? You know I wow. hate that shit. I fucking hate
that
shit.
I love
shit.
That song. Boom.
Good God, no.
There's going to be a few people. There's a lot of rock guys going to be there. So
shit done.
Yeah. Anyway, also, I'm going to start recording my documentary about Kiss fans. So if you are going to be there and you want to take part in the documentary, just walk over to the table. Karen will be running it. You just got a little paper that you got to fill out that says I can use the video that I film. And then we'll put you in the documentary. It's going to be a lot of fun. Jody's going to be the first one on camera.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little worried about it. I told Karen the other day, Jody believes that when you get filmed, it takes away part of your soul. And then, you know, you don't.
Yeah. Me and the Hopis.
Anyway, okay, so lots happening this week. As far as the mail goes, I want to thank you guys out there. I put out a little call, and unfortunately, I don't have it all with me right now, but I have some of it, and I forward a lot of it to you guys too, right?
Right.
Kiss versus MCZ. I got a letter. Did you guys get that one?
I haven't had time to check my emails, dude.
Okay, that's say? All right. What did it say? From Keith Whelans said, yo, guys, I went to the world premiere of Kiss versus MCZ with Q&A with the director at the Newcastle Film Festival, UK, in March. I would love to say it was a sellout, but only 15 people turned up and dropped 8 when they couldn't get the projector to start. It was an okay documentary. The director has been friends with Paul for 15 years. Paul and Doc contacted him about an idea of Kiss collaborating with a Japanese idol band. We see Paul and Tommy in the studio working on Samurai Sun. Sorry, no Gene writing session. Then we move to the band recording all their parts separately, jump to Kiss meeting Momoro Clover Z, and the video shoot. Jump to Kiss joining MCZ on stage to perform Samurai Sun live. Glad to see the documentary will see the light of the day, as the director claimed to be having trouble finding a distributor. Peace! Thank you for letting us know. So, I it sounds like it'll be cool. I'll watch it just because.
Oh, hell yeah. I find it hard to believe was having a hard time finding a distributor, dude. I mean, any kind of Kiss shit. We all want to see it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's gold.
Yeah, but can't find a distributor or won't pay the upfront money Kiss wants.
Yeah. Well, maybe they don't want to pay for the licensing. I don't know.
Oh, okay, that might be part of it.
If Paul and Doc brought this guy in to film it, I guess they just didn't want anything to do with it when it was finished, or what? I mean, you don't think that Doc McGee could find a distributor for some Kiss shit? You know what I mean? Yeah. Or maybe there's some kind of rights because of the other band, maybe? Who knows? But I want to see it.
I want to see it, too. Oh, Brad sent in his top fives. Y'all ready for that?
Yeah.
Thank you, Brad, for this top five opening album tracks. Detroit Rock City, I Stole Your Love, Unholy, Creatures of the Night, and I Was Made for Loving You. Good songs.
Yeah.
Top five opening bands. These are the top five bands I actually saw open for Kiss. Slaughter, Great White, Buckcherry, Alice in Chains, and Outhouse. They opened for Kiss in Grand Rapids in 97 on the AWW tour. Three-piece post-grunge band out of Kansas City. Ever heard of them? Holy in shit, Missouri, dude. Jody?
Dude, what? Yeah, that's the band. I've been trying to think of that for years. The second time.
Okay.
The second, whatever it was called when Kiss came back in 97 on the reunion tour, it wasn't, you know, it was that band, and I never could remember what they were called. So what were they called? Outhouse?
Yeah. Outhouse. He said, I thought they were so good I bought their debut and only album. Good stuff.
I'd have to disagree with that, but right on.
let's see. These are the top five bands that open at least 10 shows for Kiss that I didn't see. If I didn't cap it to at least 10 shows, AC/DC with Bon Scott in 77 would be number one. Wasp, Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, Bob Seger, and the Silver Bullet Band, and Cheap Trick. Top five albums, Destroyer, Love Gun, Dynasty, Revenge, Rock and Roll Over. Note, if I were to include live albums, Alive would be three. And Rock and Roll Over would fall out.
Wow.
Top five Family Tree albums, Badlands, Trouble Walking, Union, Vinnie Vincent Invasion, and Let Me Rock You by Peter Criss.
Really?
I just fell asleep on that one. Brad.
I don't think any of us had any Union, did we?
No, interesting, yeah.
And Jody, you just reminded me, so the second time they came around on reunion tour, I was supposed to see them in San Francisco. And they canceled.
Really?
Yeah, Sugar Ray was supposed to open.
Oh, thank God you missed that. Wow.
Holy shit. I forgot about Sugar Ray. They had a lot of hits. They probably would have put some asses in some seats.
Yes. Something happened because they were in Vancouver on May 6th. Then they canceled Washington on May 7th. Nevada, Reno in May 9th, and San Francisco on May 10th, and then they started in Germany on the 16th. So I don't know what they were doing those 10 days, but maybe they just needed a break.
My money says it was something to do with Peter Criss.
Or Ace Frehley.
That's almost any Kiss problem. As a general rule.
True. As far as news goes,
Podcast Rock City News.
What's happening in the world of Kiss, guys?
Peter showed up at that zombie show.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, I saw that.
It's pretty cool.
So what did it say anything about that?
I just think it's weird. Like, so zombie pulls him out there, you know, just to introduce him. He comes out, everybody claps their hands and woo-woo, whatever. He's in shorts or whatever. He doesn't.
He was wearing shorts? Yeah,
he was wearing shorts. He hugs Zombie, he hugs John 5, and leaves. He didn't play anything, didn't sing anything, and I'm just like, so he's the Pope now? He just like appears and leaves?
It's just like the vault, dude.
Yeah.
You gotta leave him wanting more.
God. I guess so. On KissAsylum.com, there's a good write-up about this book that's coming out in October, Gene Simmons 27, The Legend and Mythology of the 27 Club. You know, that's going to cause a lot of controversy, especially with people like, okay, only with Nikki Sixx. But anyway, Gene Simmons never did drugs. He can't write about people that did drugs because he never did drugs. Well, I'm so sorry. I can write a book about playing professional baseball, even though I was never a professional baseball fan. So shut the fuck up. Anyway.
Amen. Just sorry. Man. Nikki Sixx, shut the fuck up about this.
Shut the fuck up. Good God.
Now, let me translate. I'm pissed off because I didn't think about it first. That's what that is.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm mad because when I died, I was in my late 30s or whatever. Does he count for that? If he would have been brought to life? Okay, anyway. The bad thing, once again, and I'll say it again, I love you, Nikki. I love Nikki Sixx. It's just like, this is going to happen. You know it's going to happen. It already happened.
Absolutely.
Good God. Just get off his coattails and fucking do another whatever album. Sixth Sense, whatever. Anyway. Yeah, so next week we've got a pretty big show, we think. We don't want to spoil it yet. So come back next week and we're like, hey, let's do a whatever show. Then we failed. But yeah, so this week, let's get to the topic of the week.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week.
This week, We're going to go back in time again, man. You know, a couple weeks ago, we went back in time. We used the D-Rock time machine. We went back and we interviewed Peter Criss about his solo album before he had a chance to put it out. It was really cool because, you know, I had sent a letter to Peter and said, hey, dude, you should come on the show. And, of course, nothing. So we decided to tap into D-Rock super genius brain with his time machine that he made for Strange Ways. You guys used it before, right?
We've used it a few times. I've actually went back quite a few times.
Didn't you go back in time one time when Cheech and Chong were making Up in Smoke and you're like, hung out on the set with them?
Yeah, I was an extra in that audience when they played live.
That's awesome.
I went back to check out the dinosaurs and no, they never existed. It's all bullshit. There are no dinosaurs. Hate to inform you guys. All those bones are just fucking pieces of art that people make.
I have no words. Anyway, you're killing me. Okay, so that's what the show's about. We're going to do whose album, Sonny?
Ace Frehley.
Ace Frehley's solo album, which some people argue is the best, you know. We'll get into that. We'll get into that. So you know, what's up? What do you guys think of this album? When it comes down to it, it's the best, right?
No.
No.
But when I was a kid, it was my favorite until sometime in my mid-20s when I discovered Paul Stanley.
Paul Stanley's album is the best.
I think so.
Okay, it
depends on what my drunkle meter is reading. So if I'm drunk, then Aces is actually better because songs like Ozone and Snowblind really get me going. But if I'm sober, Paul's is better.
Right on. So we're getting a sober review today or what?
Yeah, we're getting a sober review today.
All right, that's fine.
Well, let's get in this machine and get back there and see what Ace has to say, and then we can come back and talk about what we
talk about the record. Absolutely.
We're going to have to cram into this beast.
Hey, Sonny, you're standing behind me and something's touching me and I don't like where it's touching me.
Dude, I got my stomach pulled in as far as it's going to pull in. It is what it is, baby.
He's mercy. Talking about something a little bit lower.
Boom!
That's no. Said, yo, honey, that ain't no pistol. What the? What is going on here? Struggle. Okay, all right, push the button.
Ooh. Oh,
I'm afraid of heights.
What? Oh, stop it!
That burrito's coming out. That burrito I had earlier is. Oh,
tonight?
Oh, have mercy.
Rufus!
I don't know what to do. Please, can we just land?
Wait a second, I missed out on burritos?
Oh my god, look at that. We just passed Bill and Ted.
Party on, dudes.
Party on.
Another rough landing.
Yeah, hurt my ankles this time.
Yeah. All right, so let's get to this Ace. Let's go find this dude.
Podcast Rock City.
Okay, so we're here with Ace Frehley.
Hi, Carly.
Hey, Ace, thank you for letting us come here and interview you. We are very excited about the band's solo albums, and we're excited about your solo album. I want to have a chance to ask you a question here. I know you played a lot on this album. What was it like to play so many different things?
Yeah, like what all did you play?
I played lead guitar, rhythm guitar, acoustic guitar, synthesizer, and bass. And I did all the lead vocals and half of the background vocals.
Bitchin'.
So who played drums then?
A guy named Anton Figg, who, as you heard, is pretty incredible.
Oh, right on.
So Ace, was it difficult to basically do the whole album by yourself? That must have been a lot of pressure.
It's really funny. I like to say that. When I told people that I'm playing every instrument on the record, just about, you know, doing all the vocals and some background vocals to my own voice. and they say, wow, that must be really hard. The reality of the situation is that when you're playing against your own rhythm tracks, you know them better than anybody else does because you wrote them. And it's really, I find it a lot easier to play against my own recordings than playing against somebody else's, because I know exactly what I did prior to the overdub.
Gotcha.
So it's a tough thing to master so many instruments. Isn't it difficult to change back and forth from guitar to everything else that you played on the record?
Most accomplished guitar players that can play rhythm and lead can usually play bass without any problem.
Right.
And I was in groups where I used to have to teach, you know, the guy how to play bass. You know, he couldn't figure it out, so I have to figure it out for him. So, you know, I was always very well acquainted with bass guitar.
Right on.
So how do you think your fans will feel about this album?
I think it'll expand their views. I certainly think I've expanded my musical horizons just a little, you know, on this record. I think it'll, you know, I hope that, you know, people say, wow, you know, I didn't think he could do this or do that or could sing like that. Because, you know, I did a lot of different things with my voice that I've never been able to do up until now. And, you know, I also got a couple of interesting guitar sounds I've never, you know, reproduced before on record. So I'm really happy with the way it turned out.
Right on.
The guitar tone and especially the guitar solos are amazing. Sounds a bit different than Kiss, though. Was that on purpose?
Well, I have a really big guitar collection and a big amplifier collection, all old amplifiers, you know, dating back to the 40s and 50s. And, you know, up until now, you know, whenever we did Kiss albums, you know, a lot of times we were on a very hectic schedule, as you very well know, with touring and everything. And a lot of times we didn't have as much time as we wanted to, you know, to do records, and especially guitar solos, you know. It was always the kind of thing where, all right, come on, you got to do a solo. You know, you have 8 hours to do it, or whatever. And that's the way we'd whip them out. But you know, in this case of the solo albums, you know, I took two months to record it. It was the kind of thing where I brought all my guitars and all my amplifiers to the studio. And, you know, sometimes we just spend the whole day on a guitar solo to get the right sound. And I think it shows.
Oh, that makes sense.
You've worked with Eddie Kramer before when you with Kiss. Was it weird working with him by yourself?
I think it wasn't very different working with Eddie with Kiss as it was with the solo album. It's just that I just saw another side of him and he saw another side of me. You know, we worked a lot closer on this project than we did in the past, because it was just me and Eddie. He didn't have to worry about three other guys. It was just me and Eddie, basically, and Anton. Anton supplied the percussion, and I supplied just about everything else. And it was just like the three of us went up to a mansion in Connecticut. We took it over, and we cut all the basic tracks up there. And it was really funny. It was just me and Eddie. We started with basic rhythm tracks, just rhythm guitar and drums, and then we started layering everything on top of it. I put the bass on. And then after we got all the basic tracks, we came down to Manhattan at Plaza Sound and did most of the guitar solos and the vocals and stuff, synthesizers. So it came out, you know, basically we kept on schedule and everything turned out basically the way we wanted it to. So I really don't have any complaints about the record.
Cool.
Now that you've really gotten into it, how do you feel about writing all their songs?
Well, for a while, I was very dormant. I think, you know, when the Alive 1 album hit, and I was, you know, bogged down with traveling, and, you know, I decided to get married, you know, around that time. And there was so much going on in my life, my creativity kind of went down. And if you check the records, you know, Destroyer or the one after that, I think I only wrote maybe one song on either of those albums. But, this is probably the first project where I've really came out of my shell, so to speak, and, you know, wrote all the songs except for one. And I think now that I've, you know, realized what my abilities are, I think I'll probably be doing a lot more in the future with Kiss.
I really hope so, Ace.
So that means doing this album brought something out in you that you didn't know you had?
I'm sure each of the albums are going to bring out one side of all of us that none of us never knew we had. I think it's going to make us all better as one unit.
Cool.
Shock Me is such an awesome tune. How did you feel when it became such a big hit with the fans.
Yeah, that was the first. I'll never forget the first night when we did that tour, and the guy said, "You got to do Shock Me Live," and I was really nervous. You had to get up in front of 20,000 people and sing lead, and I never had before. So. But I just tried not to think about it, and it just happened. You know, it came natural.
Yeah, I get it.
Well, you've pretty much established yourself in just about every phase of rock and roll, Ace. Wouldn't you agree?
I would say I'm more confident now as a singer and guitar player than I've ever been in my life, probably. A lot of the insecurities have gone away that I've had in the past.
You? Insecure? Come on, Ace, be real.
Everybody's insecure in their own. Well, see, I'm never satisfied with what I do. You know, I'll say it's good, even, and I do some good guitar work, but I always want to strive for a higher level. A lot of times I can't, you know, a lot of times playing live, all of us have to give up little musicianship for jumping up in the air and doing a flip or whatever. And it's, you know, I'm sure I could play more proficient live if I stood still and never had to do any choreography. You know, you give a little, and it's a give and take situation. It's like everything. You gotta give up something to gain something else.
I still don't believe it, but okay.
What made you want to be a musician?
Most of the English, you know, the English rock invasion affected me in a very positive way. You know, I really thought that they had it, had the right idea. Jeff Beck, Eric Clapton, Peter Townsend was a big influence on me. I saw The Who's first New York appearance at the Murray DeKay Show, and they were opening up for Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels. And I was there with my friend. I was 15 or 16 years old, and he threw his guitar 20 feet in the air and caught it, and a smoke bomb went off. I said, "This is the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen in my life. I want to do the same thing."
Yeah, me too.
So, Ace, did you have a backup plan, or did you kind of always know that you were going to just make it in rock and roll?
Oh, I really did. In fact, it was that point in my life where I was kind of... I'd always wanted to be a commercial artist. You know, I designed the KISS logo, and I've designed other things for people. You know, my specialty is logos. I'm into lettering and all that kind of stuff and layout work. And, when I was around 16, you know, that was a point in my life where I said, well, what am I going to do? Am I going to go to art school and really seriously become a commercial artist? Or do I want to be a rock and roller? And after seeing, you know, The Who Live, they really made the decision for me. And it's pretty inspiring, that type of... theatrics mixed with rock and roll always excited me the most, you know. I mean, good rock and roll is good rock and roll, but when you can mix it with a theatrical show... And make it that much more exciting. That's probably the whole thing that makes KISS work.
Gotcha. When writing songs, is there a part of you that always thinks KISS first?
Well, the answer to that is obvious. I mean, it has to. Some of it has to rub off. You know, even if you try to block it out of your mind. I mean, we're becoming an institution at this point, and you know. Even subconsciously, when I write material, you know, sometimes it comes out, you know, I'm a rock and roller, you know, and KISS is rock and roll.
Amen.
If you had just one word to describe the entire album, what would that one word be?
Incredible.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Ace. We really appreciate you doing this with us. We've got to hop in this... weirdly placed time machine phone booth thingy over here. We'll see you in 40 years. Peace. All right, so we're back in this phone booth. It's time to push the buttons and get us back. Here we go. I always get nervous on this part. I get
so
nervous.
Crazy looking. I love it.
I hate this phone booth. It's just, I don't know how to handle it most of the time because there's too many windows.
You both smell! I hate you too!
Okay, alright, so we've landed. Thank God. Open the door. Get us out of here. That was pretty amazing. How did it feel to be sitting across from Ace, you know, in 1978?
Well, the problem I got is it's 2018 and we're still using a phone booth. Can PRC, like, step up their game or something?
Okay, so I hope you guys enjoyed that interview. It takes a lot out of us to go back in time and do that kind of thing. Yeah. So, let's talk about the record, man. You know, Ace's solo album was maybe the last one I got, I think, out of the group. What about y'all?
For me, it was the first one.
It was the first.
For me, it was the first.
I even went through, like, crazy lengths to get this damn record, dude. I don't know. You probably remember me telling this story back in the day, but I fucking... I found this, like, used record store that I didn't know existed, and every fucking Kiss record in there was $4, right? And they all had all the inserts and all that shit. And to me, it was like heaven, dude. And so once I discovered it, I knew that I needed at least $4 because I wanted that fucking Ace Frehley record so bad, you know? So my dad...
This is one of my favorite stories. Please continue.
I'll tell a quick version of it, but... So my dad had this friend that came over with this brand new truck, right? And I was like, hey, how about I wash your truck for $4? You know, I'll do a really good job and I'll be able to go get this record, you know? So dumbass me, I was probably like, I don't know, 10, 11, 12 years old, something like that. I wanted to do such a good job that I washed this fucker's brand new truck with an SOS pad, dude.
Oh, damn.
Totally brutalized his brand new shiny truck, you know what I'm saying? And so my dad, he was like a car guy, they fixed it, you know, but I still got the $4, man, and still got the Ace Frehley record, but yeah, ruined some brand new truck in the process.
Wow. SOS pad.
I thought that they would get it super clean, you know. I didn't realize that I was scratching his fucking clear coat off.
You know what it was doing? It was super cleaning the paint right off the truck.
I don't know. I was a stupid fucking kid, man. But I wanted that record at any cost, and I still got it. And it's still, you know, one of my all-time favorite records of all time.
Do you still have the same copy that you bought with the $4?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Oh, that is awesome.
Yeah, it's beat all the shit. But, you know, it was the first one I had, so I still got it. Still have the poster. With 4 tack holes in it, too.
Nice.
I had the whole mural hung up on my wall for years when I was a kid. You know what I mean? I always thought that was so damn cool how you could fit them together. And, yeah. Ace Frehley record is just unbelievable, man. As soon as you drop that needle, it's just fucking totally rocks.
Yeah. I wanted to tell you something that I found out when I was looking up information on it, which I thought was super fucking funny. So when the ratings came out for the record, right?
Yeah.
So Ace's record comes out, and then there's a few different, like, magazines or what else, whatever, back in the day, and they ranked it, right? They rated it. So this magazine called All Music gave it 4 out of 5 stars, right?
Okay.
This other one called Pitchfork gave it 8.5 out of 10, which is, to me, really good. Rolling Stone, out of 5 stars, gave it 2.
Whatever.
Fucking Rolling Stone.
What'd they give Gene's album? 5?
I don't know, man. I'd really like to find that out. I'm going to have to look it up. But yeah, man, they gave Ace's solo album 2 stars.
In 1978, Rolling Stone was probably sucking Don Henley's cock. Fuck those guys.
It's true. Rolling Stone gave Gene's album 2.5.
So he won.
He won, yes.
Totally.
Pitchfork gave five out of 10.
Was Pitchfork really around back then? I thought Pitchfork was like a newer thing.
Well, yeah, 95. But it gave Gene's album 5 out of 10. And All Music... which is from 91, gave it 3 out of 5. So, you know, yeah, 2 of those 3 were honest. They did it by the music, not by the... Anyway, so let's go back to Ace's album, man. You know, dropping the needle on this record, just like you said, starts off kick ass with Rip It Out.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. One of the best opening tracks on an album ever.
Yeah, I agree. I love that. I love that song. I've had so many of my students learn the song. I love, you know, the ba-na-na-na. It's really crazy because it's not as simple as you would think it is.
No, not at all.
So it's not. So, you know, teaching the students these odd times, you know, what they were doing, it really is a big help. But it was like the first time I ever really listened and went, you get to hear Ace sing a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
You know, so I was like, yeah, I don't mind Ace's voice so much. He sounds like a, you know, like a surfer dude to me, I always thought, you know.
Yeah, he's definitely got a unique sound, but it fits these songs perfectly.
Oh yeah.
I just remember being completely blown away because I think at the time I had Love Gun. I don't think I had Dynasty yet. And I had Unmasked, so I hadn't heard that many Ace songs, really, you know? And then you get a whole album's worth where he's singing them all and totally ripping all these guitars, man. It's unbelievable. Like, I feel like the work that he did on this record probably surpasses most of all the other shit he did in Kiss. You know what I mean?
Probably, yes. I mean,
just music-wise. More music-wise. Like, I think that of the songs that he wrote in Kiss, I think that all the 78 ones are probably better.
Okay, so I'm just making sure that we understand what you're saying. You're talking about the songs he wrote for Kiss, like Cold Gin.
Yeah.
Okay, I was thinking like the solos in certain songs. You're not talking about that. You're talking about the songs he wrote. Okay, good. Because then we would have had to make sure everybody knows to send your hate mail to podcastrockcity1.
That's a number one.
@gmail.com. Because people would have been like, fuck you, Jody.
I think a lot of people are on the same page.
Dinosaurs were real, man. I mean, we all agree. There's really... I'm looking at the songs, the song titles on here, and there's none that I don't like, you know?
Right. It's a strong record, man.
It's a strong record. How about, what's the next song, Sonny?
Speeding Back to My Baby, my favorite on the album.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, this thing would have been a hit, man. I love this song.
Yeah, I sing it to Karen when she calls me and says, what you doing? And I'm like, speeding back to my baby. She doesn't get that at all.
Of all Ace songs, this would be this would be one of my top five Ace songs ever.
Wow, yeah. Really?
That opening riff is totally badass. I also love how when it goes to the solo, how it pans. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I don't think it's my favorite on the record, but it's definitely one of them, you know?
I agree, 100%.
This is another review when we're all just like, it rules.
Yeah, every song, it's really tough. It's really tough to have anything negative to say about this, you know?
Yeah.
It's pretty much perfection. That's the best way to say it. It's almost a 40-minute record, too, which is pretty cool.
Right.
All right, so Snowblind. So check this out. There's all these people trying to figure out who invented grunge. I think Snowblind invented grunge.
Yeah?
Dude, that crunchy riff, it's like lazy and it oozes. Dude, that riff is awesome.
Oh, hell yeah. Plus, you got to remember all those grunge dudes grew up on Kiss, you know? So they definitely were a huge influence on grunge. Even that, like, that drum beat that's in almost every grunge song is kind of what Peter Criss did on a lot of Kiss shit, you know? Where the snare's not just on 2 and 4.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's Kiss's fault we had to endure that shit.
I noticed in a couple of songs, obviously, because he does in a couple of songs, but this is the first one where he speeds up during the solo and then brings the tempo back down.
Yeah.
Right? It's like he didn't want to write the guitar solo in that grunge crunchoos thing he was doing.
Yeah.
So he speeds it up to normal, then brings it back down. He did that a couple of times on the album.
Yeah, it's sweet. I think, you know, Anton Figg, dude. I mean, the whole record is just Ace and Anton. more or less. And I mean, they're such a great partnership. You got this killer guitar player, and then you got this really technical badass drummer that can switch it up like that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Peter Criss, as great as he was, is not that technical. You know what I mean? And I think Ace has always wanted a drummer like this, because he'd never pick someone like Peter, you know, on anything that he's ever done. He always has a great drummer. But not that Peter's not a great drummer, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Send your hate mail.
But you know what I mean? Like, Peter Criss is pretty basic, whereas Anton Figg is a whole another level, dude.
Right. Okay, so basically what you're saying is Anton really studied his instrument, as opposed to Peter just being kind of a hitter.
Yeah, like, Peter's all feel, where Anton actually could probably sit down and write out whatever he's playing, you know.
Right.
I mean, let's say it for real, right? So, okay, we all love Peter in his way, but could he do that middle of rip it out? Even if he could do it once, could he repeat it? Like, I don't know.
He's not one to repeat himself ever. You know what I mean? Like, even just from song to song, they're never really the same. If you watch any of the, you know, live shit, that's his whole jazzy thing, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But no, I don't. I think that Peter Criss has the chops to do fills like that. But like you said, yeah, I don't think it would ever be the same twice. But that part in Rip It Out is really interesting, because the first time, like you were saying, Joe, it's da 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 da, right?
Yeah.
But then it has that stutter step on the second one and the fourth one, right?
Yeah. Yes. It's like behind, just a little.
It's cool. Super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's on purpose. That's You know, that's important for people to know. They do that on purpose. It gives you an uncomfortable feel, but it's set that way, you know? So what's next? Ozone.
The song rules.
So it just depends on the drunkometer. Otherwise, it's just slow. Like, I never really got this song unless I'm hammered. Then it's really, there's something about Snowblind and Ozone, and I'm in Need of Love. I think it's part the delay pedal. It's part the dragging riff.
Right.
But when you're not of this mind, it sounds really good.
Yeah. I always thought this was one of the heaviest ones on the album, man. Ozone, it's killer. I love that riff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really heavy. It's the longest song on the record, too.
Is it?
Yeah. 4 minutes, 41 seconds long, right?
Fractured Mirror.
No.
Five and a half.
Mirror,
yeah.
Yeah, Fractured Mirror. That's instrumental, so it kind of how about the longest one vocals? This way I can save some face.
I hear you.
All right, what's next? What's on your mind?
This is one of my favorites, dude. I thought this song would have been a hit, man. It's super poppy. It's like power pop. It's got the killer acoustics under those electrics. I love that sound.
Now, I'll tell you a story. I had not heard Ace's solo album till a couple years after, because I got Peter, and I think Ace was the last one I got. And I remembered I was at that famous camp that I went to in order to get unmasked.
Right.
And there were some guys playing it in the, it's really, you ever sit back and go, it's funny what we remember, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember sitting in the cabin, and all the kids were listening to music. And I remember going, who is this? And he's like, Ace Frehley. And it was New York Groove that they were playing. And I was like, damn, I don't know that one. I'm going to have to. And then I looked at I remember looking at whatever. I think he had the A-track or something, like a portable A-track player.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, it's funny.
Dude, the chorus on this song is one of Ace's best. I love that. I can't express the words to tell you about the feelings I got locked up inside. Oh, yeah. Love it.
Brilliant.
Love it. Yeah.
He also kind of recycled that riff, because this is basically the same progression as the part of freaking Coming Home that he wrote. Like, you know how he has a writing credit with Paul on that one, and it's for the same, basically the same riff, the descending, you know. If you ever noticed it, I don't know if you guys ever noticed it, but it's the same. I don't know if it's in the same key right off the top of my head, but it is the same riff. And works but in both places.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. I'll have to listen for that.
Yep. It's in there.
And speeding back to my baby, it says that Jeanette got a,
a little writing credit.
Yeah. I wonder what she did.
I think it's just a couple of lines of lyrics.
Still, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I'd love to have her on the show. If any of y'all know Jeanette.
Yeah, or Monique. Just, anyone.
Yeah, or, I'd love to talk to Monique.
That would be cool.
She's got some stories.
Oh, yeah. We'll take them all.
Yeah, that's right. let's see. New York Groove.
I love New York Groove. You don't like it, Sonny?
Okay. I think Ace killed it. I really do think Ace killed it. Like, if you're going to do a cover, this is the way you got to do it. And it's an iconic song, and it's been used on commercials now, blah, blah, blah. Goddamn cover. Like, Ace obviously had great songs in him. He had to have thrown some out that should have ended up here. I don't understand the whole New Girl Groove thing. I just don't get it.
Now, you guys got that. You saw that I tagged you in a post this week. Did y'all look at that?
Which post was it?
It was the one from the Last Avengers movie. Did y'all see
that? Yeah. I saw that. That was good.
Jody, did you see that,
Jody? I didn't actually watch it. I remember seeing the post, though.
Okay, so basically...
Turn it back on! No! Turn it back on.
Can't keep listening to the same song again and again and again!
I told you. I'm screwed up, man. I gotta get back in the groove. Specifically the New York Groove. Give me my Zoom.
No.
Give me the Zoom. No. Give it.
The man who sings the song is a degenerate.
I will not sit here and allow you to malign Ace Frehley. Give me the Zoom.
No. Ace Frehley is not helping. We haven't even left nowhere yet.
Ace Frehley is helping more than you are. We lost Gamora because of you.
We lost Gamora because you would not let me seize the moment! What do you care? You tried to kill her!
She said I'd be saving the universe!
I would kill either of you if it would stop that blinking yellow light.
I love New York Groove. You know, I would say it's not my favorite song off the record, but I do love the song.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I didn't like it that much when I was a kid, but to me, it's just so classic. I don't really care for it live, though. Not even. I think it's a waste of time live, but I love this studio version from the way that the like drums sound and just that kind of funkiness that it has. And I just remember when I was a kid, man, you know, that part about in the back of my Cadillac.
Mm-hmm.
Some fucking kid, I don't remember who, but he always thought it said, in the back of my Jack-a-lac. Like, clearly that's not what it says, dude.
The fuck is a Jack-a-lac?
I don't know. And the other thing that I always think about on this song nowadays is like how Matt Parter's daughter thought the lyric was, it's going to be extra sweet instead of ecstasy. So now every time I hear the song, I think of that. So thanks for that, Mr. Porter.
Yep. Little Maddie.
Yeah.
It's going to be Maddie sweet. Maddie was sick this week, so we hope she's doing well.
Yes.
Yeah, she was sick, like me, but she actually had to go to the doctor. So hope you feel better, sweetheart. Let's see. What's next? I'm in need of love.
Yeah, who is it?
You're welcome for that. That was my singing for the day.
All right, so we're gonna create some. It's not a what if. Tell me why you think this happened. Why the girl? Girl. Why the stutter? Was it a mistake and he just keep it?
I think it's influenced by The Who and he meant to do it and it's rad.
Yeah, The Who did something like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
That would make sense, I guess.
I think it's super cool. I think he did it on purpose. I don't think it was just like him being fucked up in the studio and they kept it. I think it's purpose.
Now I got that song stuck in my head. It is definitely a strange a moment, but you know, it, once you, and far be it from me to ever say that I know, you know, rock music history, because compared to everybody I've been on shows with today, I do not. However, I know Kiss, but you know, I do know that girl part. I got it. You know, when I heard it, I, you know,
yeah,
just making sure that I stand up for myself once.
I like the delay in the riff. It makes it feel spacey.
Very
like
spacey.
This song feels spacey.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And again, you know, another fucking killer song. That's about all you could say about it. All these songs rule, man. There's not a whole lot we can really say negative. Except for one. There's one song on here that I don't like, and I pretty much always skip. I think it's coming up soon.
Yeah, mine is.
Is it Wiped Out?
It is Wiped Out.
Yeah, same for me.
I love that riff, how it switches time. But I don't like that.
I actually like Wiped Out. I like it.
Yeah. It's just never one of, I like when it switches in the chorus, you know, that riff. It's fucking heavy as hell. But this is like the skipper track for me, for sure.
The next one's a skipper for me.
Really? You just stop the tape.
I don't even have it downloaded. I don't have Fractured Mirror downloaded on my iPhone. I had to go listen to it on YouTube.
Seriously? You don't love Fractured Mirror?
I do not love Fractured Mirror. Wow. Dude, I want my instrumentals from the Vise and the Malmsteens of the world, but the Paul Gilbert's, not Ace Frehley.
Yeah, it's not really all that busy.
Well, it's not a shredder instrumental. It's just like a, to me it always sounded like it would be in a soundtrack of like a sci-fi flick or something, you know?
So
yeah,
today,
I want to talk about what you said today. So
yeah, it's great. We'll get to that in a second. So first, before we get to that one, first I thought maybe he was trying to write a ballad, but he couldn't.
That's possible. I think that whenever I hear it, I always go, "See, this was Ace showing everybody that he had range." I don't know.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
what I mean?
Not just a 12-bar. 1-4-5 progression.
Right.
He's kind of stretching out a little bit. I don't know. I think it's fucking awesome. To me, this is the best instrumental that he's done. You know how he's done a shit ton nowadays.
Lots of Fractured Mirrors,
but
too.
This one's the granddaddy of them all, y'all.
Yeah. So the other thing we were talking about. So I'm at the airport. I'm listening to Fractured Mirror on YouTube, and I'm like, all right, it's the same shit I remember it being. And then I'm about to board, and for some reason I'm humming the song. I'm like, what the hell am I humming? Because it can't be Fractured Mirror. It doesn't sound like Fractured Mirror that I'm humming. I was humming Father Figure by George Michael, and I'm like, wait a second. So I go back, listen to Father Figure, then I listen to Fractured Mirror, then I listen to Father Figure, and I'm like, hey, I just found lyrics for the song.
You need to make your own mashup, dude. Because it is the
Dude,
same basic
admit,
progression.
It's pretty close.
Yeah.
It is.
I think they're in different keys, but still, you could change that in a mashup. You know what's interesting, though, is once you said that, I checked it out, of course, and I agree definitely with the chorus. I mean, it's the same basic progression. But I forgot to tell you guys when we were doing the Peter Criss something that I had noticed about, what's it called? The one of, like, it's New York. What's that song? I can't stop the rain. Can't stop the rain. That, if you start the beginning of that song, you could pretty much make a perfect matchup with My Chemical Romance, the Black Parade song. You know that song?
Yeah.
I mean, it fits perfectly. It's the same progression. You should check it out. I did it today again to make sure I wasn't full of shit. And it's perfect. Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Pretty
That's
crazy.
Pretty
so,
funny.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that on our Peter Criss thing a couple weeks ago. But yeah,
so
next time you hear it, run those lyrics in your head. Just that, when I was, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. A young boy, my father.
Yeah.
All right, sorry.
Sound pretty good,
their,
Joe.
That was their best song, I thought.
Yeah, I like that one. I like some of the ones on that previous record better, though. I like that one where it's like The Ghost of You, I think it's called. It's pretty good.
Yep, lost me there. Another one song.
For an MTV band, they weren't bad, you know.
No, they were a good band. I think that they got tired of each other a lot faster than people expected them to.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that is that's Ace Frehley's solo album.
10 out of 10.
George Michael owes him some money.
Yes, man. Rest in peace, George Michael. I loved you, man. You're my favorite. You're one of my favorite, you know, pop guys. Oh, I guess it would be nice. Hell yeah, man. He had it going on. Then he got in all kinds of shit, and that was that.
Well, sometimes you don't expect an officer to behave that way.
Nope.
Anyway. No, I agree with you, Jody. It's a great album. It's just I like Paul's just an inch better. If Fractured Mirror was a real song, I could let New York Groove slide, and this would be the best album. But I got to put Paul on top.
I hear you. I put Paul on top mostly because of the vocals, man. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I think Ace has a nice. There's something a charm to his vocals, but he's no Paul Stanley. You know, no one is. But can you imagine? Like, it just would have been so much cooler if they would have taken some of these Ace songs and the classic idea of making your own 78 record. It would have been cooler, I think. I mean, I'm glad we have 4 solo records to listen to, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. It's also interesting in the interview, he was saying that, you know, it took 2 months to do the record, but sometimes you only got 8 hours to do a Kiss solo. The solos on this album are really crisp.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he had plenty of time, and he used a lot of different amps and guitars, not just a Les Paul and a Marshall and everything, you know?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, for a person like Ace, who people don't really... There are a lot of people out there that don't think of him as exactly what he is, which is he's a very thought-out guitar player. He doesn't just, you know... He knows what he wants, and he knows what he likes, and it's very clear on this record. You know, he finally had the money, the studio time, the personnel to do exactly what he would want to do. And when he did, he got this. And, you know, it's almost like when he said, you know, when they were saying they wanted to leave the band earlier, you wonder what we'd have gotten, you know, after this record, if he'd have split and done another solo record.
Yeah.
What might we have gotten? I am glad I'm glad he didn't, but
yeah.
And I think Ace will never admit this, not probably in these words, but my guess is you're getting your ass kicked for like 5 years about, hey, do it this way. Hey, stop doing that. Hey, don't drink so much. Hey, show up on time. Hey, whatever it is. He gets into the studio and says, I'm going to kick these guys' asses with this album. They ain't going to know what the fuck hit them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine when Gene and Paul first heard this shit? They had to be blown away.
Oh, they had to. Gene must have been like, oh, shit.
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine, you know. It's
Yeah, because he was even hoarding songs all the way back in, like, 76 and shit, he said, you know.
Right.
So, like, something like Rip It Out could have potentially went on Rock and Roll Over or something, you know.
Sure. I agree, 100%.
Changed the whole course of the band. It's kind of crazy.
And there's no way Kiss would have let those riffs that were slower and kind of oozier. Yeah. No way.
Nah.
They'd have been like, speed that up. We're going to need to make that. That's going to be a Paul song. Speed that up.
Yeah. So, like, okay, so let's do this real quick, just as a little ending thing. What do you guys think about, like, imagine you had these songs and Kiss was going to go in the studio and record them. Who would sing Rip It Out? And who would sing, you know what I mean? Like, who would you have do Rip It Out? Who would you have do Speed and Back vocally?
Damn, that's tough, man.
Is it Ace and Peter in the band?
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, that's
the original four.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right, I'll go first. I'll do, let's see. I'd say Ace still does Rip It Out. Paul's going to end up doing Speed and Back to My Baby. Snowblind is going to be Ace. Ozone's going to end up being Gene. What's On Your Mind's got Paul written all over it. New York Groove, Peter. I'm in Need of Love has got Gene written all over it. Wiped Out, probably still be Ace. And Fracture Mirror probably get thrown out.
in favor of a cover.
That's right. Like Kissing Time.
Yeah.
I agree with all of those. Except I would like Speeding Back to My Baby to be Peter.
Peter, yeah. And I would have Paul do Rip It Out. And I would have Paul do What's on Your Mind. I don't know what Gene would do, though, man, really. I definitely can't see him doing Ozone just lyrically, you know?
I don't know if Gene would do Girl, It's Not My Fault. I don't know if he'd do that.
No, he might, though, man, because you got to remember he did all that.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Little demon scat. Last thing you want to see on the trail when you're hiking.
All right, so that's how about that? That's part of the show today. PodcastRockCity1@gmail.com. Take the song titles of Ace's solo album and tell us who you would have sing, either Ace, Peter, Gene, or Paul, and we'll read them on next week's show. Is that pretty much it for the day?
I think so.
Yeah.
Cool. Had a lot of fun with you guys as usual. I love hanging out with you. Few more weeks and we get to hang out again for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, it'll be a day, right? When are you guys getting in? Saturday, both of you, or are you getting in on Friday, Jody?
I keep going back and forth, man. I think I might do Friday now, because if we're gonna jam, I want to fucking, not only do I want to hang out with everyone more, but I want to get rehearse a little bit. I don't want to fucking go up there blind.
Nah, I understand. We'll make sure that we get something in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still Saturday morning. I get into Nashville, I think, at 8:30 or something like that, and I'm going straight to the hotel room, showering, and then coming over.
You're going to have a long fucking day, Sonny.
Yeah, he's a man, though.
Oh, yeah, he's got that 40-ounce coffee cup.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I'll be rocking that for sure.
He's got, like, a fucking pony barrel of coffee.
No, I'm going to do the, because I've got a regiment that I do at Vegas. Yeah. Especially if I get there, like I'll take the first flight out, so I'm out of here at 6 o'clock in the morning, which means I got to get up at 4:30 like 4 o'clock, so that way I can make it to the airport by 5:30, get on the plane at 6, and then I'll go until like 4 in the morning in Vegas, which is like 6 in the morning here, so I'm up basically 24 hours, but it's usually like 2 cups of coffee and then 2 timed energy drinks, like right. Perfectly timed.
Holy yeah. Crap, my heart rate explode.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Those 5-hour energy things?
No, like a monster.
Oh, okay. Right on.
Yeah.
All right, then. Well, we got a couple of weeks. Thank you guys for listening. Joe, do you have anything to add?
Thanks for listening, folks.
Sonny.
Kiss Army rocks. God, I hope we don't have to get back in that goddamn telephone booth again. Can we have like a... Wasn't there a show on TV where they got like into a gym bag? What was that show?
I don't know.
There was a show. Yeah, there was like a gym bag time machine.
Yeah, we'll get the one that the guys from the Big Bang Theory
purchased. Oh, yeah.
Well, and I think we'll all fit in that one. You guys know what I'm going to say. We listen to podcasts and we listen to Kiss podcasts, and you're going to hear the commercials for all the ones that we love right after this. In 3, 2, 1, peace.
I'm afraid I've given you all the time I can spare at the moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.
Still love it loud? So do we. Rockin' Pod returns to Nashville on Saturday, August 25th. Over 25 rock podcasts from all over North America recording on-site. Vinyl and memorabilia dealers selling the best in rock merchandise. And awesome rock musicians and personalities participating in signing sessions and on-stage panel discussions throughout the day. Special guests include current and former members of Korn, Kiss, Angel, Winger, Loudness, Accept, Bang 10. Django, King Tracy, as well as producers that have worked with Slayer, Ozzy, Alice Cooper, Seven Dust, and many more. More guests being added weekly. Don't miss your chance to be part of an awesome celebration of all things rock. Rockin' Pod takes place at the legendary Nashville Palace, August 25th, 2018. More details available at rockinpod.com. That's rockinpod.com. The Nashville Rockin' Pod Expo. Brought to you by Blind Tiger Record Club, School of Rock Nashville, and School of Rock Franklin, a DBG Productions event.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
Kiss!
It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
And Sonny Hollywood Pooney, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growinguprock.com.
That's growinguprock.com. GROWINUPROCK.com.
Growing Up Rock.
Turn it up.
Hey everybody, this is Jody Havnot. I want to invite you to come hang out with me and Mr. Nate Dimmel in the Dummy Room. The Dummy Room is a podcast that's all about having fun, talking about some great music, and we also have some really cool guests too. Check us out, man. I think you really dig it.
Hey everybody, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast. And if you love this...
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll and it's always free.
All right, Kiss Army. Since 2007, you've been getting Podkissed, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your Podkissed. Every month, the Podkissed crew, along with the Kiss Room, brings you Kiss talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great Kiss fun.
Hi, this is Dave Sprelly, and you're listening to Podkissed.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Podkissed.
The Podkissed, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
Hi, I'm Bill Algie.
And I'm Dennis Talbot.
And I'm Alan Tate, and we're the Ages of Rock Podcast.
Hey, we want to thank our friends at Podcast Rock City for the shout-out. Our show has great guests and a variety of topics. We've been told our interviews feel like guys sitting in a bar, so kick back and check us out at agesofrock.com.
Woohoo!
Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new, what are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood.
Baby, you know it's only you and me. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all I need. A generation behind. We're going nowhere, and that's just fine.
No gratitude need be voiced. Your mind speaks to us.